Today on Life and Other Catastrophes, Jane Fisher is away, which gives us an opportunity to flip the switch a little. Today, men's groups, men's work. What happens when a group of men get into a men's shed? Or what happens when a group of men get into a circle and start asking each other tough questions? For Life and Other Catastrophes today, we are joined by Peter Lustig. He is one of those behind the Mankind Project in Australia, and he's a lawyer in his spare time as well. Pete, welcome to the radio.
And there's not very much spare time. Thank you, Raf.
I'm sure there isn't. Look, I want to get into why men's groups, men's sheds might be valuable in a moment. But let's start with, I'm assuming most people listening have no idea what a men's group is about. So you've got, I don't know, 4, 6, 10, 12 men sitting in a circle. What are they invited to do? What are they asked to do?
Well, a moment ago, Raf, I heard you say that sitting in a men's circle has men asking other men tough questions. I think the reality is that most men actually ask themselves those questions, and they don't necessarily have the tools or the experience or the support to find out the answers.
Yeah.
I know that I've been asking myself, who am I, for decades. And, of course, I get different answers depending on when you ask me or how old I might be or what experiences I might have had.
But yeah.
Going into a men's group helps me to understand who I am, where I am in the world. In fact, what comes to mind is that boy psychology has boys be the center of the universe, whereas man psychology, healthy adult male psychology, is I have a place in the universe. So okay. Sitting in a men's group helps me to identify that place.
So take me to, because Mankind Project has one version of men's circles.
And there are lots.
Sure. And there's lots of different ways it can happen. But I walk in, what am I asked?
You're not asked anything. You're invited to, you're welcomed. And you're asked, would you like to sit down? And what we then do is we make sure that the circle of men who are sitting there are actually safe. So we'll close the door. We'll generally ask men who are going to be really late not to come at all, because that can break into what's going on,
sure,
the flow of the evening. Normally we might say something of a blessing, which is not anything at all to do with religion. Religion's your business, not ours. But we would talk about something like acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land that we're sitting on. You know, in this place, I think it's the Bunurong people, part of the Kulin Nation. We would bless the men who are present for what is it that you might want to bring here tonight.
So why is that different from me sitting down having a beer with my mates in a pub?
In some ways, it's not. The difference, I think, is nevertheless that men sitting in a pub are talking about themselves and about cars and women and footy and whatever else it might be, whereas men sitting in a circle are very, very consciously there to ask themselves some of those difficult questions that you were referring to before.
And how's it different to me reading a self-help book?
Ah, that's a great question. I can read all the self-help books I like, watch all the amazing YouTube stuff that's around these days. There's not anything that's the same as actually having other men help me to confront myself, to meet myself only to the extent that I'm prepared to meet myself, to open myself up.
What does meeting myself mean?
Asking those difficult questions and not shying away from the answers. So, give you an example. Why is it that I might have broken my word about something? You know, maybe I've said to somebody I'm going to do that by a certain time, and I haven't done it. So that man might be asked, how come that happened? And we have a process called an accountability process, which helps the man to get really, really present to what did he do? Did he keep the agreement? What was the agreement first, and did he keep it? And obviously he didn't, or he wouldn't be doing the process. And then what did he make more important than that? And below that, having looked at what the impacts of that were, below that, what was it that drove him to choose to do something other than what he said?
You mean what stories is he telling himself?
No, what story he's telling himself is the story that he says when he's justifying to himself why he's not doing what he said he'd do. Below that, there's usually a story or a wound or something that drives him. In the project, we call them shadows, things that we hide, repress and deny about ourselves, which are actually drivers. And if I'm unconscious of what's driving me, then I'll allow myself to tell me my own story about why I don't need to keep an agreement.
Yeah. Men's sheds are similar as well. And I want to get on to why on earth we're talking about men speaking to other men and what problems perhaps that can solve. Some of your texts, this guy that's Peter hits the nail on the head, some men don't want to grow up. Someone else texting, most people, male and female, are more comfortable with a man punching a wall than a man crying. Do you think that's true?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why do you think that people are more comfortable with the former than the latter?
I'm not sure about whether the word comfortable is quite
there.
Are
they more used to?
More used to, yeah. And in our culture, in our society, it's very much about men have to be stoic. They have to hold their feelings in, not show them. And the punching of the wall is what actually happens when a man finally blows. And he blows because he doesn't have emotional literacy so that he's actually capable of feeling the feelings, or actually he's feeling them anyway, but identifying what they are.
How do I know if I go to a men's circle? So if I go to a counsellor, I know they are registered as a psychiatrist or a psychologist or something else. How do I know I'm in good hands if I go to a men's circle or if I go to a men's shed?
Yeah, you probably don't. That's part of the fun.
Is that a problem?
It's a little bit like life. You know, when you signed up to come into this planet, did you know what you're going to get?
But what if I've got a really disturbing issue actually that is related to something like domestic violence? How do I know that I'm going to get the help I really need?
Well, I can't imagine a men's circle that doesn't have some men in it who are experienced. And most men, even if they're inexperienced, will recognise when a man is bringing an issue to them.
Yeah.
Or to the circle, which they're not capable of handling. In fact, I had an instance of that just last week, sitting in a circle, and the man who was running point, focusing the group on that evening, we take turns, said, I don't think anyone here is capable of handling that.
Right.
We don't have the time, so let's make sure this man is okay and safe. Is he going to be able to get home okay? And what support does he need in the meantime? But let's stop there.
And what about if an issue comes up and you need to make sure that the people around that man need to be safe, like his family? How do we make sure that happens?
Well, as you're aware, I'm sure there are some compulsory reporting requirements for certain types of occupations. And generally speaking, most of those people aren't sitting in circle with us. But when they are, we identify them, so that the man has a choice as to whether or not he's actually going to say some things that might result in a reporting. Generally, though, when a man does some work in a circle, he's always offered support. In fact, that's the whole purpose of having a circle rather than looking at a YouTube or reading a self-help book. It's because there are other men there who have gone through the same things that you've gone through. I know I've had some fantastic father issues. You know, who hasn't, as a man or a woman, perhaps?
Yeah.
And yet, and I must have done decades of work around that, and yet every single time a man works about his relationship with his father, I still get a little bit more out of it, even though I'm not the one doing the work.
Peter Lustig is with me. He's one of the board members on the Mankind Project here in Australia. He's a lawyer as well. Coming up to 3:45 on ABC Radio Melbourne. The phone number's 1300 222 774. Scott's in Broadmeadows. What did you want to say, Scott?
G'day, Raf and Peter. How are you going?
Hey, Scott.
Look, I'd just like to also let you know that there's lots of dads groups out there of different forms, but the principle is, very similar, in which you get a bunch of blokes. I'm working on one called Working Out Dads through Tweddle Early Parenting Service out of Footscray, but it's in Wyndham. And it's a six-week course where men come together and talk about how to be the best dad that they want to, can be.
So, Scott, can I stop you there? How do you stop it being a, everyone just sits back and, you know, makes a little reflection? How do you stop it being just a simple talk fest? How do you make sure that someone actually gets something out of being there?
Working out Dad's wrath, have a look at the Tweddle website. It's got some really good information on there.
Tell everyone who's listening, Scott, how do you make sure that everyone who turns up gets something out of it?
I think you have to have a structure and you have to have a purpose, and whoever the facilitator is has to state clearly what their role is, and also to negotiate what the purpose of the participants coming along. Blokes need to come along and go, right, who are you? What's your credibility? And also, where are we going with this sort of stuff? I think, having a talk fest, I don't think that sort of honours what the importance of men telling their story. And sometimes you'll get, a lot of guff, and then you'll get the layers will come back, and then you go, okay, well, the most important issue for me right now is da da da. And
I'm in total agreement with you, Scott. And indeed, sometimes it's all a man needs to do is to actually speak his story and know that he's being heard.
It's really important that there is a combination of being relaxed and I've learned a lot from working with Aboriginal fellas who, talking about cultural safety. And a shout out to Jamie Waiapa, who's done some fantastic work.
Yeah, I know Jamie. Good.
Yeah, he's terrific. But to create an environment that is safe for fellas to actually be vulnerable, and then to say, actually, this is, when my kid chucks a whammy in the supermarket, this is when I get really, out of sorts because I don't know what to do,
or triggered, maybe,
or whatever it is, and to provide a structure where guys can actually go, well, and you can structure up their learning. I mean, how do we as men learn to grow up and be men? And we need older fellas to say, okay, acknowledge what their experiences are, and then to say, where do you want to go?
Okay. Look, thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Raph.
I appreciate all of the experience that you bring to bear. Pete?
Just one thing before you go there, Raph. I heard Scott talking about vulnerability, and to me that's a real key. So all men's circles, no matter what they are, need to have agreements in place to make them safe places. So the principal one usually is something like, whatever goes on here will stay confidential to the men who are here.
Sure.
You can go away and talk about your feelings and your thoughts that come up, not another man's story, but vulnerability is where it's at.
I want to address too, there's quite a few people saying they'll only go if the facilitator's good, so I want to get into that in a moment. But Frank's in Blackburn. What did you want to say, Frank?
Yeah, look, I'm a member of a group of guys who started out just with through junior sport with their local football side, and our son's playing football, and as they've grown up, we've stuck together, and we have like a Thursday, every Thursday we get together, there's about 10 of us. And it started out where we just kind of laugh and joke and talk about what went on during the week and how things are going. And then gradually, bit by bit, as we've got older, of course, we've all started to have health issues, and we're all talking about different things that are happening to us physically, and then also emotionally with their kids, having problems with their kids, the kids growing up. We've got dads with sons who've got ice issues. We've got, a couple of dads with wives that have got health issues, major health issues. And it's good for the guys to get together, and we all talk about each other's problems and how we're going to cope, and we support each other too.
How do you make sure it's not just my wife really upsets me about this, and I'm really worried about my health? How do you make sure that it's actually, you get a bit of a focus on whoever's talking, that they, for lack of a better word or lack of a better cliche, they actually have a good hard look at themselves? How do you make sure that happens?
Look, we talk about the issues, in a kind of partly in a positive way, and also in a jovial way. And somehow we seem to be able to sort these little problems out and help the guys get through these problems. And I think it's a really healthy way I don't know, it's an outlet for the guys to talk about it, you know. There's nothing worse, I think, than most guys have the problems where they hold it inside and bottle it up.
Oh, there's no doubt that's a major problem. Look, thank you so much, Frank. Why bother with this stuff, Peter?
Well, why wouldn't you? You know, do you reckon the planet is a terrific place to be and there aren't any problems?
But does it make a difference?
Well, I believe it does. I think it was Mahatma Gandhi who said that the only person you really have full permission to access and to change is yourself. Mm. And so I think his aphorism was something like, be the change you want to see in the world. So,
That sounds nice. But yeah. Domestic violence, lack of emotional literacy, people just being pissed off with their partners.
Yeah.
Does it really make a difference?
Well, if I am in a grown body and I'm still a child, of course it doesn't make a difference. But Mankind Project, along with many, many, many other men's organisations throughout the planet, Mankind Project is there to change the planet one man at a time. And what that's pointing to is saying, well, what can I do to change?
Mm.
You know, the world seems an awfully large place. So if I start here, inside of me, what is it that I can do about my own behaviour? How can I get on my mission? In fact, do I have a mission? Most men need a mission.
You mean you're my goal in life?
Yeah, yeah. And if I have a mission, in fact, then if I stop at any point in time, I can calibrate to, is that on mission? Yeah. Is that where I'm wanting to head?
Can I ask you a gross generalisation as a way of looking into men's
groups? Ask away.
Do you think more women are more emotionally literate than their partners, and who are often men?
I agree. It's a gross generalisation. in general terms, I suspect they are, and women sort of tend to network quite well naturally, and our culture, as I said before, tends to push men into being alone and stoic and be individuals and stand up and be a man and don't cry and all that sort of stuff, which pushes emotional literacy away. So, of course, there's domestic violence. When a man can't find a way to express huge frustration, he'll lash out. And very, very sadly, that's often, you know, against and towards the people he most loves.
Do you think it's fair to say that if a facilitator can't deal with domestic violence popping up, they shouldn't be running a men's group?
No, because the facilitator can be incredibly adept at all sorts of other areas and just recognise that that's one that I'm not sure I can handle that.
Yeah, right.
And in fact, like any facilitator, if there's something inside of me that relates to domestic violence, I might actually say that. You know, I don't want to deal with this because it's too close to home. That would be a responsible facilitator.
Do you think domestic violence, male suicide, those sort of things, I mean, does any of the men's group, men's circles, men's sheds, does it make a difference with that stuff?
I'm sure they do. Absolutely. I think there's something like last year, something in the order of 2,200 men committed suicide in Australia. It's slightly over eight a day. So if a whole plethora of men's work can address that and save even one of them, just imagine the flow on it, the ripples that one man dying is going to have on our culture, on families, on friends, on work associates, you name it.
Sure.
And if you can save just one of those a week, wouldn't that be beautiful?
Let me mention, you can find the Mankind Project, which is the stuff Peter's involved with. That's mkpvic.com.au.
.com.au.
Sorry, mkpvic.com.au. There's any number. Often when these conversations come up, there is, of course, Lifeline. There is the Men's Line Australia that I've mentioned before, which is 1-300-78-9978. There is Beyond Blue. There are lots of people. There are lots of places you can go to. So please, if this brings anything up, reach out, ask someone. David Dunelton, what did you want to say, David?
G'day, Raf. G'day, Peter.
Hey.
I am in strong agreement with what Peter's suggesting. And I've met Peter before many years ago through Melbourne Men's Group.
Hey, David.
And we know.
That goes back away.
It does. But we know through the experience, Peter, of dealing with men in circle, that there's a strong need for men to be able to talk and share authentically with each other.
Okay, so David, I'm going to stop you only because I want to ask you and Peter this question.
Yes.
So someone's listening. They're either thinking about their partner or the man himself is listening.
Yes.
And they're thinking, you know what? This sounds like a bunch of crazy people sitting in a circle asking me confronting questions that I don't really want to ask, or that just sounds like a waste of my time. What would you say to them, David?
Firstly, I don't think there's any crazy people talking to each other. I think it's just people talking to each other. And certainly in the context of men sitting in a circle, why would that be crazy? All we're doing is being human and sharing what's happening for us and learning how to be more open to what's really going on. Because in reality, Raph, you know this yourself, men and women have the same emotions. And yet, in the context of our culture, men are not encouraged to be able to share them authentically. Women are much better at doing it because it's more acceptable in the culture.
Hey, David, I want to leave it there because I want to leave Pete with the last word as we have a cricket update to get to before the news. But Peter,
cricket and footy and let's have a beer. Yeah. I'm reminded of a quote attributed to Albert Einstein, who says the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. So in answer to your question, and I do agree with what David said, but and in answer to your question, if the fifth time that I come out of a relationship with my partner, whether it be a woman or a man or whoever, or the eighth time that I get sacked from my job, right, I might just start to think that maybe the common denominator is me. And it's not all of my projections on those horrible bosses and those terrible women.
Peter, thank you so much for coming in. Peter Lustig is with the Mankind Project. You can find them online. And people saying that I'm sounding judgmental. It's okay. I've been to a men's circle. I think they're a fantastic thing. That's why I'm here. But I thought I would ask a few tough questions of Peter to see if we could maximise the reasons, the motivations. So if you've got any men in your life, send them along to a men's group.